You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This nearly the end of March. My goodness. Let's hope we did the best we could during the month. You know, it's almost gone.
Time sure is fun when you're having flies. Yeah, right.
And that, of course, without even mentioning his name, you know, is our wonderful brother Ed Skiba.
I had a wonderful day yesterday. What a beautiful South Florida morning, isn't it?
Isn't it, though? Yes, it is.
We are so blessed to live here.
We are blessed.
We really are.
We are blessed. Yeah. Hurricanes notwithstanding, but...
Yeah, hurricanes notwithstanding, but that's okay.
Well, you can't live anywhere on earth without having weather.
I had a... you're right. I had a great time yesterday at the church. We did a baptism.
Cool.
Yeah, I got all done and... Fellow came up to me, new there, and he said, "That's the worst baptism sermon I've ever heard." I said, "What?" And he walked away. So I grabbed one of the other people. I said, "Who is that guy?" "Oh, he's a friend of mine." I said, "Do you know what he said to me?" And I told him. I said, "He told me that was the worst baptism sermon he ever heard." He said, "Oh, don't pay any attention to him. He just repeats what everybody else says."
Okay, well, that would inspire me, though, to go back to the drawing board.
Just
thank you, God, for Ed's sense of humor. It keeps us focused. And my other co-host, and by the way, we're glad to be back. The 2 weeks of fundraising, God did bless us. I think we ended up with about $176,000 and almost $177,000. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's thank the Lord. The rest will come in as God leads people to give, but we're in a good shape there. Ann Lomhoko.
Yeah, good morning.
Good to see you again.
I was just going to say, we haven't been in the studio for 2 weeks, and it feels like way longer than 2 weeks.
It does. It does.
So it's always good to be here.
What do you mean we? I spent a couple of times.
You came back. I took a break. I have family in town, actually. Yeah. It's still in town.
Still in town?
Yeah, they're still in town until Wednesday.
The way you said that, do you want them to
thing.
Go?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. No,
it's a good thing. Okay.
It's just that I'm limited in things I could do. So
I understand.
Family
yeah.
was
I didn't stop by at prayer.
Though.
It is. Yeah.
Family. Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad that you have a chance. You do have, actually, I've gotten to meet some of your family.
Yeah, you have.
You have a pretty good-sized family.
I do. It's a big Filipino family.
Wow.
And we call it Wajin because some of my nieces... My sister married a white guy, so we call it.
All right, hey there.
So I have Wajin nieces and nephews, and we were taking a picture in front of a restaurant in Johnson Beach, and I go say Wajin.
Well, yeah.
I have the mixed Caucasian Filipino family.
Cool. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I wish I had a chance to say mabuhay to all of them.
Yeah, he knows Tagalog, which is Filipino, because he was in. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, actually, we don't have much family anymore. Maybe I could rent some of yours.
Yeah, surely.
They seem like good people. I've enjoyed meeting them. Well, anyway, now that I don't want to get
us too far. I got a couple I'll give you.
Oh, really? Well, Ed, thanks. I've been offered family from other sources, too. Thanks, but no thanks. Anyway, today, as we begin this program of The Front Line, we have with us Martin County Supervisor of Elections, Vicki Davis.
Amen. Yes, good morning,
good
everyone.
Good to have you back with us.
Good morning. It's great to be back. And I just wanted to share, I really had a great baptismal experience yesterday, Ed. And no jokes.
Okay.
We have two daughters, and our oldest daughter, she and her husband and two children live in South Carolina. They moved up 2.5 years ago now.
Okay.
So they're in a bedroom community to Columbia, Lexington, South Carolina. And they have the two children. Emery Kate is 14 and Barrett is 11. And Emery Kate was confirmed and baptized yesterday.
Beautiful.
At church. So we were able to watch it live stream. So
good.
Yes.
Good.
So it was an exciting day for the family. Yeah.
That is really,
that's
really
wonderful.
I love those.
Good. We need more children in the kingdom.
We do.
Yeah. We do.
If there's anything I miss, I've been a pastor for 40 some years, but I don't have a regular church anymore. It's, you know, just a home church, which is fine. I love it. But I do miss the baptisms, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. especially working with the kids, but the adults too. You know, it's really awesome, yes. Awesome opportunity. But by the way, we lived in a bedroom community too, but eventually bought a house that had more rooms. So, you know.
What does that mean, bedroom community?
It's has easier access. They don't live right in Columbia, in the capital.
Oh, I got
it's
it.
A suburb. Okay.
Suburb.
Yeah.
Suburb. Yeah. Okay. Yes, that's
I lived
the
in Somerville, South Carolina, just okay. outside Charleston.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they take day trips over to Charleston, a mm-hmm. couple hours.
Charleston's drive. Beautiful.
Some yes. of the best shrimp and grits nice I ever had was in Charleston.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot of other things too.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Vicki, I'm glad you're with us today, and when you come, you always bring some great information. People need to know.
Yeah.
And about election issues, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you the opportunity to share with us what's most important to you.
Well, there is a lot going on in elections right now. We have candidates coming in from the local level. We went through, I think we held 3 or 4 mm-hmm. candidate training sessions. And so we've been working with our candidates. They're coming in bringing their petitions because that's a part of qualifying mm-hmm. as a candidate. The week of qualifying for our local candidates and statewide candidates is June the 8th at noon. So it's a Monday through June the 12th at noon on a Friday. So our candidates are busy getting petitions signed. They need 1,167. Yep. So it takes more than that. So it's mm-hmm. a real effort on candidates' part.
What are all the requirements for a candidate? That one is the petitions.
Right. To qualify, they have to file paperwork. So right now, those that have announced and are getting their petitions signed and we're verifying them, they have to file a designation of their treasurer and a bank.
Okay.
So they have to file that paperwork with us. And then they also have to file a statement of candidate. It's a DSDE 9 for the treasurer designation and a DS 84 for a statement of candidate. And what the statement of candidate says is they have read and they understand Florida statutes, chapter 106, which is all about campaign financing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they have to be familiar with that. That's why they are training and walk them through, you know, the fine points, the points that they really need to be aware of.
Yeah, because I'm sure people out there are curious as to what qualifies a person to run for a public office.
Right. And that's the initial steps to announce and then start the process. A candidate could wait until that week of qualifying, but when they wait for qualifying, they have to file the two documents that I just shared. Mm-hmm. Plus, all candidates then have to file that week their full and financial disclosure of full finances, and they also have to file a loyalty oath. And the loyalty oath basically states how their name is going to appear on the ballot. And it also verifies their party information if they're running under a party and that they have not changed their party within 365 days prior to qualifying.
Okay. Yeah. This may be a loaded question, and I don't want to bring politics into it. Is there a requirement for citizenship to be a valid candidate?
Well, you have to be a registered voter to be.
Okay, that answers that question. Yes. I'm sure it was a question people would have.
That's a good question. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, I know on the federal level, you could choose to pay money instead of doing signatures. Is that also an option for Martin County?
Yes, it is. It is statewide. You can either pay a filing fee, or you can collect the petitions, or you could file as a write-in candidate. But that's why write-in candidates, your names don't appear on the ballot.
Yeah,
they take the race to the general ballot.
Yes,
and write-ins always appear on a general, never a primary.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, it's all very interesting.
Yeah, and what's coming up too? I know we've got
Well, we have the primary election. Yeah. That's our next big election.
Yes.
And that one is August the 18th. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for our voters and your listeners to know that Florida is a closed primary state. Mm-hmm. So you have to have your party affiliation in place 29 days before Election Day. Because when you go in to vote, we're not like states in the northeastern part of the United States where you can go in and declare a party and receive a ballot style that coordinates. Yours has to be in Florida in place 29 days before. So when you go in, you show your signed photo identification. Okay. The poll workers check you in. You have to sign in. They verify your signature, your photo ID. And then you're presented with a ballot that coordinates with your party affiliation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Republican can only vote in Republican, obviously. Democrat can only vote in Democrat.
That's right.
And then there's no NPAs for the...
Yes, there is a nonpartisan ballot because we do have judicial candidates plus school board candidates that are nonpartisan.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
They run under statutorily nonpartisan. Yes. Right. So there is a nonpartisan ballot. And there's also a twist in Florida law as well with a primary. If you have a race and only, say, Republicans have qualified to run in that race, then that race, because it has no opposition from a Democratic Party or a Democratic candidate or a nonpartisan candidate or a write-in candidate, it's going to appear on every ballot style. So you may have a Republican race. You'll have it, of course, on the Republican-style ballot, but also the Democratic-style ballot and the nonpartisan-style ballot.
Okay.
So every once in a while, through a primary, we'll receive a call in the office. You've given me the wrong ballot style. I have a Republican race on my ballot. Yes, you do. Yeah, it's a universal primary race.
Got it.
There you go. Yeah. I know from state to state, the laws and the policies are different.
Very different, yes.
And so, but here in Florida, and I'm really pleased to be in Florida, by the way. Not just because of the weather.
Right.
Coming from Maine, you
our
know,
laws.
That's a big deal. But
but
also our the way in which our laws are designed to actually require election integrity.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that all the laws overlap and cover so that there's no room to... or any kind of evil to squeak through. That's the way I'm putting it. But, you know, and I enjoy that.
Yes. And Florida's been ahead of the curve. Since 1977, Florida's had a proof of signature identification in place. And then when the Motor Voter Act passed in the 90s, a photograph was also a requirement. So we've had that in place for many years here in Florida, and our legislature has really focused on, as you said, David, tightening up election laws so that the guardrails have been tightened and tightened, and seems every session.
Yeah,
yeah.
This may be a no-brainer, and it really is, but because nationally the political debate with the Save America Act is raging. And that in clearly in the political divide in our nation, we see on one side, we see a tremendous effort being made to bring, maintain and bring election integrity nationally to every state with federal law. And we see another side, you know, fighting against that and not wanting to pass that. So I'm just going to throw out, trying not to be political, but that is an obvious issue out there. What is the danger that exists when you don't have voter ID for elections?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I said, in Florida, we've been very proactive and have had ID in place since 1977. But, you know, personally, I agree with having to have that identification. I can't imagine showing up and voting without it, without showing some form of identification. It's just a part of the security of the election itself. And Floridians are so used to showing identification, our voters are, that they feel the same way. They don't, you know, can't understand how you would not have to show identification when you go and cast a vote.
That being such a controversy throughout the country, how big of a controversy do you see that being here in Florida?
For the voter ID issue? Not at all.
That's what I thought.
Amongst both parties. Yeah. Amongst both parties. It's like they're in agreement with it. Governor DeSantis passed something statewide on it, right?
I love this state.
That's why I moved here.
There are other states.
From Chicago.
Well, it seems to me, and I'm a law and order kind of guy, basically. So when I look at what the Constitution gives me as a citizen, the rights and privileges that I have, voting being certainly a very fundamental right that I've been given as a citizen. And so, number one, I want to exercise that right.
Absolutely.
Every time. No matter who's running or not running, I mean, I'm going to get to that voting booth.
Sure.
I'm going to make a decision based on biblical values as to what I know these people stand on and all that.
Sure.
But the other thing is, it really, my teeth grit whenever I think of states who don't have election integrity in their laws and actually seem to want non-citizens to vote when they have no right to do that. It's an egregious situation, and that because I'm a citizen, I rage against that. And it seems, why will you not? Why? I know why. Of course, I know why. Mm-hmm. Is they want people to vote for them, those that are trying to eliminate the requirements for citizenship to prove that when you vote.
Yeah.
I know it just. We're not going to fix it today, but I guess I just had to throw that out.
Well, because it's a national debate right now. That's why it was good to bring up.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. To me, it makes no sense. When I first heard about this years ago, it made no sense.
But you have to have picture ID to buy cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know? And insert many other things you have to show.
You need a picture ID for many things. Yeah. Go to Costco. They don't let you in without looking at your phone now, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, the state of Florida in this past session that just ended, the bill hasn't been signed by the governor yet, but House Bill 991 was passed. It's on its way to the governor. It does include proof of citizenship whenever you register to vote. This portion of the law will not go into effect until January of 2027. But when it does go into effect, registered voters already registered, they'll be grandfathered in. But then once they have to make a party change, a name change, or an address change, they're going to have to show proof of citizenship at that point.
Okay.
So that pull list for everyone in our database, statewide database, is to be in the database as a verified citizen of the United States. So that's where we're moving in the state of Florida.
Yep. Amen. Well, I've had my soapbox, but I think it's important. I think that, and now I want to speak to my fellow believers, Christians, because number one, we have a poor voting record. I'll tell you more than half of the Christians claim to be Christians don't vote. You just don't go to the polls. And I want to say to you that go back to Matthew 28:16-20. Read what Jesus says about what he wants his church to do. And when he says, go forth, all the authority has been given to us, go forth into all the world and make disciples
of all nations.
And in going forth into all the world, representing him, we have to bring the word of God into the world. And that means going into the voting booth and having pre-examined all these people who are running for office. I don't care what, if it's governor, lieutenant, if it's whatever, down to dog catcher, is that we must know that these people are, that their policies and their platforms align with God's word and with God's values. biblical values to as much as we as they can.
Yep.
And if where they egregiously diverge, then we should not, in all good conscience, vote for those people. But we need to vote.
Right.
We must. That's part of our call from God to be responsible to our to the quality of our culture and to the Word of God that where we live and move and have our being. So
amen.
Okay, and again, that's another soapbox. I have a lot of soapboxes.
No, but I agree with you with the soapboxes. I also want to say, not only doing your research, which there's plenty of guides out there to find out about candidates. There's no reason why you should not have a plethora of information regarding candidates and where they stand on the issues, but to pray and ask the Lord, which I do, like, okay, because we have a governor coming, a gubernatorial election.
Gubernatorial, yep.
Coming up.
I actually have Paul Renner coming to speak to our Tea Party next week, St. Lucie County Tea Party. I'm on the board. Like, we have a bunch of candidates. Ask the Lord, what is his heart on each of the candidates? Because he knows best. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Amen.
I do that. I sit before the Lord and like, Lord, who do you think? Because even what they portray may not be the truth. I'll just be honest with you. You know, we need to ask the Lord's heart.
Amen.
So, and obviously do your research.
Amen.
But yeah, every Christian should vote. Yeah. I don't understand why they don't. What do you think, Vicki?
In addition to the candidates that are on the ballot, when you get to the general ballot, many times we have constitutional amendments that affect every single one of us, you know. So I think it's really important for those who are out there, number one, be registered to vote. And number two, educate yourself, as Ann was saying. And then number three, get out and vote. You know, we have the opportunity that we can vote by mail if we're not able to get out and go to the polls, or it's convenient for our voters. A lot of times they don't want to wait until the last minute and take that chance of missing voting. So they'll vote early in person. So you have that option. Yep. And then the last opportunity is Election Day.
Yes.
So I say, you know, you have no excuse. Educate yourself.
Well,
get out there.
The only have is that if the person that I like doesn't get in, and I'll have nothing to complain about. I got to have something to gripe about. So,
there's
but
plenty
if I
else.
Vote for them and they get in, I'll have nothing to
There you go.
Well, that, you know, that is...
Go ahead.
Well, I'll say that brings us another point, another soapbox. Okay, I'm dragging them over. That, and for Christians who do vote, you know, we are look for those biblical values, look for how they align, their policies align. But at the same time, nothing better than a human being is going to make themselves available for office.
Yeah.
We're all imperfect. I love the Lord. I've walked with him for 50 years. But I'll tell you, he didn't perfect me. He did not. And so no matter how wonderful these people, the people we elect, at whatever level of office you're talking about, federal, state, local, county, local, all of those, they're still people. And if we in our heart believe that God has led us to select them and they win the office, we have to recognize and trust that God, we don't trust politicians. Ultimately, I don't. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody should trust them over God, right? God's still in charge. Mm-hmm. So we elect people and then we pray for them.
Yes.
And we trust that God is going to move them, that they're going to listen more times than they're not, okay? Because again, God knows who he's working with. But God is a perfect plan that is perfect throughout the whole
Of
creation.
Already.
Well, I don't know if we do or not.
Jonathan's
going to be answering the phone.
Okay.
Problem is the phone rings in here too, so he's got to answer it, and then it will
Sorry,
ring
listeners,
again.
Sorry, listeners, if it's a call, I know, we'll get to it.
We all want those calls, and in fact, that would remind me that you may call in today, 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and ask a question or make a comment for Vicki or...
Sure.
The team, and there it is. Now that call's coming through. Nope, button above that.
Yep.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning. This is John here in Port St. Lucie. Just wanted to call in regarding the voting, what I was going to say, I've been voting since I was 17 or 18, I guess, actually, when I first got, was able to vote. And, I mean, it's something that people have died for. And it's a pity in this world, you know, we take something for granted and we shouldn't, because I'm not the best historian, but I know that in the past, sometimes it's been one vote that has turned the tide. Amen. And that could have been the vote that was either made or was not made.
Amen.
And you people often say that, you know, even if you haven't made a choice, you've made a choice not to do anything.
Amen.
That's true.
That's right.
And I just want to say for all the people out there, you just like the old Nike commercial, just do it.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And vote.
I mean, it makes a big difference. I think God, I know God looks down on the faithfulness of his people in every area. There's no, like someone told me years ago when I was praying for my cats and different things, they said, what makes you think if it's important to you, it's not important to God? And I mean, he works through his people. And if the people don't get off the you-know-what and start to vote, they're going to be the ones who complain about, gee, well, what happened? How come it is? And then they say, did you vote? And I've heard people over the years have told me, well, it doesn't make any difference. I said, it does make a difference because you didn't vote.
Amen.
You don't know what the impact is that you have. And people I know in countries, and like I say, I'm not the best in history. My dad, Philip, who passed away, even him and his brother were good. But there's so many times where it's made a difference. I mean, it always makes a difference there. So people say, oh, you know what's going to happen? You have that lackadaisical attitude or whatever, and you just got to go out there. You got to have faith. You got to believe. You got to say, hey, God, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Obedience. That's what he's looking for, is obedience, too. And so many people, they're letting it go and all the things going on in the world. And I admit, I've sat back a lot in my life. But, you know, now's the time, like they say, when rise up, like there's a voice. The voice, we're the voice, the hands and feet of God.
Yes.
And if we don't do it, who else is going to do it? We can't look next to somebody and say, well, you're going to do it? No, you do it. Come on, follow me. Like
Amen.
Jesus said, follow me. So this is... You know, there is no later on or tomorrow. Tomorrow's promised to no one. So I know whenever it's time to vote, I vote right there. I go wherever I go, and I tell the people who volunteer, I appreciate what you're doing and volunteering for this. And also, it makes a difference. I'll come every time. If I, God forbid, if I'm in a wheelchair or laying in the stretcher, hey, get me in there. Let me
Amen.
Vote,
Amen. You know? Hallelujah.
Like, Amen.
It's just the people. We have to voice up. We can't be the silent majority. We have to be the Christian coalition, if that's what we are, to be positive, to go out there and do it, cast your vote. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Just say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast my vote. I believe in this, and no matter whatever happens, hey, it's all like it says in God's word. You know, he puts people in power and takes them out. So but he still wants to see us step up and do something. Go there and do it. Don't complain and say, oh, my God, because so many people, so many times I've seen, those are the ones that do it. Did you vote? Oh, well, it won't make a difference. I said, well, it just did. You didn't vote. You don't realize the impact of what it is. And people, like I say, in other countries, they die. And right, the founding fathers and everything who in their constitution, I mean, in fear of death, but they did it because they had a belief in their heart that I believe was instilled by God. And he said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. Yes, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we just have to take those living words off the pages of the Bible and put it into our living hearts. Because if nobody else does, it's just... You know, and I think it grieves God, too, when he doesn't see his people step up in faith and go there and make a stand and say, I'm going to vote. I'm going to do what I got to do. Stomp on the devil. Crush his heel. Because we are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Got to do it.
Thank you, John.
I listened to this. I got motivated. And God's saying, come on. Speak your peace, you know. And
thank you.
You got to enjoy that. What good freedom of speech if we don't utilize it? If we put a tool that's next to us on side. And we don't use it, we have ourselves to blame.
That's right.
So I just wanted to say that because I was listening. I'm in my shop doing something for a broken lamp and trying to get my cats out of the way so I can get in the back shed. But I just want to say, God bless you folks.
Thank you for listening, John.
Thank you.
And we just, you know, we stay the course. Keep on keeping on.
Amen. John, thank you so much. That was one of the most eloquent arguments for being a Christian in the voting booth I've ever heard.
With Scripture.
Amen.
With Scripture.
Yes.
Praise you.
With Scripture.
Thank you.
Right,
with, thank you, brother.
I try. I admit a lot. I've been, you know, over the past laying back, I'm volunteering at church and everything, and I said to myself, you know, John, you can't sit and soak. And I told the guy a couple years ago, I said, you know, no matter what I do, you know, one spoke doesn't make the wheel. You know, everything is important. But at the same time, if that one spoke is missing, things don't run. It doesn't run, you know, the wheel doesn't turn as good as it should. So
that's right.
Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, like I tell my friend up my fellow Delaware.
I was wondering what you really thought.
Go for the gusto and go God. He's still
Amen.
On the throne.
Amen.
Amen.
He looks down on his people, and he says, come on, stand up. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm right next to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we have to, you know, he gives us that little nudge. But, you know, if we have two arms, two legs. We have a heart and a brain. We have to use it. He gave us his gift. And if we don't use it, we fall by the wayside. We just have to, like they say, open up our mouth and speak and do the word, too. Do it in what we do in all deeds.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so
John.
Much for
have
sharing. God bless you, man.
God bless.
Wow, that was so cool.
That was.
Yeah, I think this is a good point, though, to take a break.
Just a little passionate.
I love his passion. I love his passion.
We need more Christians.
We need more Christians like John.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we will be back in about 2 minutes.
You know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Welcome back. We have returned, and we're excited to be back. And we have Vicki Davis with us, the Martin County Supervisor of Elections. And a lot of great stuff has been offered already. Had a great commentary from a listener. Again, thank you, John, for calling. Speaking of calling, you can call us still. We have plenty of time. 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I'm just going to turn this back over to Vicki to share more what's on your heart.
Sure. Thank you, Dave. One area of election security that I've been sharing with the community, and this has been in law for many years, but most people are not aware of the fact that according to Florida law, there is a canvassing board that is appointed by statute to oversee the election and certify the election at the end. And it's comprised of three individuals. It's a county judge. My judge is Judge Kathleen Roberts, and she has been with me for the 20-plus years I've been in office. So she's very well aware of the election process. A county commissioner. For this election cycle, it's Commissioner Ed Campy. He has served for a number of times on the canvassing board. His alternate is Commissioner Vargas, newly elected board member, and then myself as Supervisor of Elections. If I were to appear on the ballot, then according to Florida statute, the Board of County Commissioners would appoint someone to be in my place to help with the adjudication of ballots. I could be available as a resource but not make decisions regarding ballots. Right. Mm-hmm. So the canvassing board's function is all open to the public. We're required by law, which we do, is to pretest every piece of equipment prior to it being deployed into the field. Mm-hmm. But then we're also required to publicly test a number of the pieces of equipment. So that's the canvassing board oversees that process. And then they oversee all of the vote by mail tabulation. If ballots have to be duplicated, they oversee the duplication and verification that the ballot was properly duplicated. And people ask, why does a ballot have to be duplicated? Well, sometimes it comes in damaged. People, voters, please don't put your coffee mugs on your ballot. Don't eat over your ballot, and don't tear your ballot. And one of the main reasons that a ballot has to be duplicated is because you have a race and you have those choices with the ovals that you have to fill out. Many times a voter will take their pen and put it down in the middle of an oval, thinking that may be the person they're going to cast a vote for, and then decide not to and go to the oval above or beneath and fill it in. But the equipment is sensitive, and it will pick up that little dot. We call it an eyeball. In the middle of that oval, and then it has to be duplicated. So the board has to make a decision how to duplicate that ballot, who that vote is going to be cast for. And if it's damaged, the same thing. We have to make sure that it's properly duplicated and verified.
Vicki, I've actually sat this whole process with the canvassing board. Mm-hmm. I've actually sat in St. Lucie County doing that, and it's open to the public. They can see them duplicate it.
Yes.
You can actually challenge signatures, too. Mm-hmm. It's a whole process. The public can actually take part.
Absolutely.
So those dates are online where the public can go and watch the Martin County Canvassing Board do all this.
Yes.
So
Or if you're in a different county, you can go to your county supervisor's office and watch the process. And so the canvassing board signs off on the official results that come in. Mm-hmm. And according to Florida law, we are required to have those results for our vote-by-mail totals and our early vote totals to the Division of Elections 30 minutes after the polls close. Yep. And then every 45 minutes thereafter, the precinct results have to be updated to the division. Yeah. Our results are usually always up by at least 8 o'clock in the evening.
Impressive.
On election night. Yeah. So, but then we're also required, and you've probably sat in on these canvassing board meetings, the Thursday after Election Day, if a voter's ballot, if they voted by mail and their ballot comes in without their signature or the signature doesn't match, we're reaching out to that voter and letting them know they need to come in and cure their signature.
Yeah.
They can do it electronically too. Mm-hmm. But the canvassing board looks at every one of those ballots and the information that they have provided to cure their signature to make sure it all matches up. If they're in the correct precinct, it's going to count. Well, that's a provisional ballot. Yeah. I'm sorry. Then we do have provisional ballots.
That was my next question.
Yes.
I've been a poll watcher several times, and I've seen the provisional ballots implemented.
Yes. So. And provisionals are when a voter comes to vote in person, and they may not have their signed photo identification. They're not given a ballot to go through the tabulator at that point in time. It's going to go in an envelope and come to the canvassing board. So that's what happens with that provisional.
Yeah. That was my question, where it went from there.
Yes, it comes to the board.
Right.
And the board will determine if it's going to count or not, and it's based upon their identification, if they're in the correct precinct, and if they're a registered voter. So if that criteria is not met, or one of those is not met, mm-hmm. it's not going to count.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, So after that Thursday, if we have no recounts, then the board will certify the election. It goes up to the state of Florida, and then we audit also. And in Martin County, well, in the state of Florida, you're required to hand count a certain number of precincts based mm-hmm. on the size of your county. Mm. We're required to hand count one. But in addition to that, we have an independent auditing system. So every single ballot for that election goes through that audit system. And we compare those numbers just to make sure that they...
This makes me feel so...
Yeah.
I mean,
they coordinate.
Trust how... Look how the process of how they ensure that integrity is... Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you for telling our listeners that. Yeah.
And what we're doing, too, to... You know, really help our voters feel secure that their vote is counting is we're having tours in the office and taking them into the warehouse, showing them the equipment. And we have new voting equipment for the upcoming elections and right on. The last time we purchased equipment was 2008 and it was aging out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had the money. I did not have to go to the Board of County Commissioners to request additional dollars.
Good.
Because when I came into office, I asked if the monies left over in my election account could go into an equipment replacement account. So it's been building
good
up.
Good idea.
Praise God.
And the equipment's all paid for.
That's why we keep reelecting.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Keep me in office.
Is it more modern? Like, what's changed from the old equipment?
It's the same concept. It's just faster.
Got it.
It's sleeker looking, and it's faster. So, it doesn't jam as easily. The ballots don't jam as easily. So, yeah, they've made some real improvements.
Interesting.
Yes,
I've seen your pictures on WhatsApp.
Too.
Oh, on what?
On
WhatsApp,
out at Indiantown. I've seen the pictures of the tours and everything that you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, when voters come in, they get to see the behind the scenes and they see how we seal the equipment up, how we have our custody logs, how every election morning the clerk at that precinct or early voting site has to verify those seal numbers on the equipment. That's listed on that custody log, and it's sealed up, you know, every night for early voting, and then for election day, it's sealed and comes back to us.
It gives us a great sense of transparency and integrity in the voting system in this county.
Yes.
We are blessed to be in Martin County.
Oh, we are. For sure.
So,
yeah.
Thank you for your years of 20 years of service.
This is my 22nd year.
22nd
praise
year.
The Lord.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. And then Kiri, you know, she's been with me for, this is her 21st year.
I know. Wow.
Yeah, she would be here today.
She was
today.
About 11.
We're missing her.
Yeah, every bit of 11, maybe 12.
So do you hired somebody else too, right? Like new to do?
I hired two individuals to actually take Kiri's place.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, two people to fill what was her overall. Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
I believe that.
Well, my former chief deputy, she had been with the office for 35 years, the end of November of 24. You knew Debbie, I think, Ed, maybe coming into the office. Yeah. And Debbie retired after 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she was behind the scenes. She wasn't out in the community like Kiri and myself. But she retired, and then my finance director of 17 years retired January of 25. So I have a new finance director. She lives in Fort Pierce. She's awesome. And we hired two individuals to take Kiri's place, one to do poll workers and one to focus on outreach in the community. So that's where they are today. They're out in the community. They're actually out at Martin County High School. Yep. Florida law says we are required to go on school campuses at least once a year.
I didn't know that.
Maybe I missed it. You said to replace replace Kiri in her previous position.
Yeah, because she got promoted. Yeah. She got
because
promoted.
It almost sounds like
is
Kiri going somewhere?
No.
So what is Kiri's
She's now chief deputy.
Chief deputy.
Yes. She's a chief deputy.
Yes. So they're at Martin County High School pre-registering mm-hmm. students to vote because they can pre-register at the ages of 16 and 17. Yeah. When they turn 18, that card comes in the mail. They're good to go to the polls.
I told some people at Revive that yesterday. I go, good. When you get your license, pre-register because you don't worry about it 2 years later. It comes in the mail.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. We have to tell our youth. I didn't know that was a law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to go to every high school once a year.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We love it. We love being on the campuses.
Involved. That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
We need them burned up in it.
We do. But I'm curious, what level of interest are you discovering in the high school environment for these kids as you work with them?
Right. You know, they're high schoolers.
Teens, yeah.
They are. What we're really seeing is they're not registering the same as their parents have registered, you know, which has been traditional for many years.
Yeah.
Some say they need to, they'll just leave it blank, their party affiliation, because they need to speak with their parent. But a lot of them are registering with no party affiliation.
Mm.
You know, but that can change
the
down the, it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot going on in larger.
Yeah. Yeah. We have almost, I think about 29,000 registered no party with no party affiliation.
That's
registered voters. It's a lot.
Okay.
Now, is it different from independent?
Independent would be included in that, but the main area that they're registering, not just young people, but people in general, no party affiliation if they're in that other category.
This may be very elementary. When a person registers independent, does that mean they can vote for either side?
No.
That's what I want to get clarified.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes,
it
is.
If they can't vote in the primaries, right?
Exactly.
They can,
they can vote.
But it would be the nonpartisan ballot.
Nonpartisan, okay.
They have a limited ballot.
So, I got it.
Yes.
But the two major party candidates wouldn't be on that ballot?
For Republican or Democrat.
You have a Republican ballot style.
Right.
Democratic ballot style. And then a nonpartisan.
And then nonpartisan,
That's for a primary.
Right.
Okay.
A general election, everybody receives the same ballot style.
Now, speaking of parties, now when I know when Ed first registered, the Bull Moose Party was still legitimate. but of course.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll get some calls and letters about that.
You want to see Ed's face? He's looking at David.
Well, because you're the most venerable member of this team.
So I'm 9 days older than Dirk.
Vicky Age always comes up in the studio.
Oh, sure.
You know every time you visit.
I'm just curious, what parties are actually viable right now?
Well, the two majors,
of course. Yeah.
And in Martin County, we're predominantly Republican registered. But then there are about 12 minor parties in the state of Florida in addition to no party affiliation. It would be your Green Party of Florida, your Independent Party of Florida, your Socialist Party of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the list goes on and on.
Infinitum.
Yeah. Your Constitution Party
ad nauseam,
of Florida. Yeah.
Ad nauseum, maybe a better word.
Yeah. Parties you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some people may be curious about what are the actual still viable parties that they could join.
I think they're there, but they're not the most viable.
Yeah, they're not viable.
No, they never pull a lot.
Yeah.
But there is an issue that it was from time to time that the existence of third parties can have an impact on elections.
Absolutely.
Oh,
especially federal elections.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The independent party.
Mm-hmm. You pull votes from under the other parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember one in particular I won't mention now.
Yes, there was one presidential year we had a
candidate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ross Perot.
Ross Perot. Exactly right.
I remember.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So
just muddied the waters is all it did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that, you know, I don't want to go too far into parties because the two main parties have adherents and they have reasons for adhering to those platforms and policies. But I now kind of orbit back to, as a Christian, you know, you really need to know party you're a part of, what the policies and platforms are.
Exactly.
And
we did a show on that
deep.
On a biblical response where I talked about what generally Republicans stand for and generally what Democrats stand for.
Yeah.
And our listeners need to do that research.
And they need to not ignore that because it's critical.
Sure.
So anyway, but I won't dig too deep on that.
Why
but
don't
I
we
just think it's important.
Go into the different dates because we only have like 10 minutes left. The different dates voters need to be aware of. Like a lot of voters don't know there's an August 18th primary, even though Terry or Vicky's talked about that. Mm-hmm. You want to go into some different dates?
Sure.
Different dates.
Yes, the actual date for the election in August for the primary is the 18th. Mm-hmm. And I really like to emphasize the fact that primary elections are so important.
Yes.
Because many of our local elections that affect us on a daily basis are decided in that primary election.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And in 2022, when we had our last primary election, only 33% of our voters turned out to cast a vote.
Yeah.
So it's really important for those who are listening to jot down these dates because August 18th is the date of the election, but early voting in Martin County will take place from August 8th through the 15th. So it's 8 days of early voting.
And they can go to any poll at that time. You don't
have
to go where you live.
Any of the early voting sites.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
An early voting site. There is a distinction in statute regarding an early voting location or early voting site versus a precinct.
Yes.
On election day. Mm-hmm. Good point. And you do have to go to your assigned precinct.
Yeah, you do.
Yes. And
I made the mistake 1 year. I normally early vote, right?
Yes.
1 year I couldn't do it, and but I was on election day, but in my mind, which isn't always working on all eight cylinders, I went to the early voting site, which is not my precinct.
Happens all the time.
But they very kindly reminded me to go to my precinct, and I did. But, you know, it's a mistake I'm sure a lot of people
have. All the time, because they're like you. They have voted early, and we have people show up at our office on election day, and we have to, you know, tell them where their precinct is located. But I always vote here, but it's not a precinct.
That's where I'm lucky, out in Indiantown.
Yes.
My precinct is the early voting.
Exactly, exactly. And for the primary, we will have three locations for the primary for early voting. Our office in Stewart on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Indiantown at the library because you now are incorporated as a village.
As a
and
village,
you, you always have an election every 2 years.
That's
You're
right.
always on our ballot.
That's right.
So you need that opportunity to vote early. And then Hope Sound so that we can catch our Tequesta voters so they don't have to come all the way into Stewart to cast a vote.
Good.
So we'll have those three. And then for the general election, November 3rd, we'll have six early voting locations in additional days for
There's
early
like
voting.
No excuse not to vote.
There's not.
Because you
could
even vote early and go anywhere.
Right.
There's no excuse to not vote.
Right. And then mail ballots. Ballots go out 40 days prior to election day.
Mm-hmm.
So you have plenty of time to study that ballot, educate yourself.
Yep.
Vote it. And I encourage voters, bring it into the office or bring it to an early voting site during early voting. Instead of putting it in the mail, if you, you know, have that ability.
I remember a couple of years ago, I had questions on the early voting and voter integrity, and I called your office, and you invited me in, and I sat and spoke directly with you, and you straightened me out on it.
I did.
And I appreciate that very much.
Wonderful.
What I'm saying is that our supervisor of elections in this county is very accessible.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I do have an open door policy. Anyone that comes in, calls, you know, we're located at 135 Southeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Our phone number is 772-288-5637. Any questions, anytime. I tell voters, leave me a message. If I'm not right at my desk, I will call you back. So,
and you can also get a lot of information on the website.
On the website, martinvotes. With an S.gov. Yes.
Was there a chat feature on that?
We don't. We don't have a chat feature. And the reason is for security purposes.
Makes sense.
Right.
Anybody can
make sense.
We don't even have Wi-Fi in our building.
Really?
No.
Oh,
no
okay,
Wi-Fi.
For that.
Yeah,
well, they have internet,
but no Wi-Fi.
They're certain
it's hardwired.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
Because
do you want to talk about volunteers? You need volunteers for the elections?
And yes, we always need poll workers,
yeah.
But it is a pseudo volunteer position because according to Florida statute, we cannot have volunteers.
They have to
everyone that works for the office is paid.
Okay.
So it's good news. Anyone interested in being a poll worker, you will be paid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's from $225 to $185 for the day. You do have to have training prior to each and every election. And it's a long day.
Oh, yeah.
But you have a real sense of pride when you walk away from that precinct on election day.
You've got some excellent people that come in there and work that, and your training is fantastic.
Yeah.
The times I've been a poll watcher, I've sat and watched the people that were working there. They are just very professional, right on the money.
Well, we have a lot of returnees. They love Kerry. Mm-hmm. Kerry's done an awesome job with the poll workers. And
so they're going to have to get to know the new person now, right?
Yes, yes. But Kerry's still there, and they still call her.
Love her,
Everybody
Kerry's
loves
just an
Kerry.
Awesome lady
she
overall.
Is. Yes, she is.
She truly is, and I know she'll be.
We'll miss her.
She's earned her promotion, and she'll continue
to be. Absolutely. She has always been so loyal and so dedicated from the day one that she came in working and focused.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's never changed.
I can see that.
Yeah.
People work a long time for you. Like the people who retire, it's like 15, 20, 25 years.
Yeah. Oh,
that's not like that's not
that
normal.
That tells you a lot about leadership.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank
you. Because it's from the top down.
I'm a retired naval officer. And
Well, you know.
You can tell.
Takes a team.
When you have a good leader and when you have a bad leader.
Takes a team.
It takes the team.
Yeah. Yep. I should mention, of course, we broadcast into 14 counties in Florida.
Okay.
In South Florida. Now, a few of those counties, we don't broadcast into the whole of them, but it doesn't matter because if you're in one of the counties that we broadcast into, you're hearing the Martin County Supervisor of Elections. But much of what, in fact, almost all of what you spoke about that points back to law is Florida law. So your county that you're listening from, your Supervisor of Elections would also have to be in compliance.
Absolutely.
So what I would encourage you, if you're not in Martin County, is to go to find the website for your county Supervisor of Elections.
Mm-hmm.
It should be very informative, give you a lot of contact information.
Yeah. Yes.
Up-to-date stuff and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, then I encourage you, you're not in Martin County, but you're still responsible.
Yes.
To exercise your constitutionally provided rights to vote and to be informed in that. So we have a couple of minutes before we really have to go, and I hate to do this, Vicki. I'd love to. That's why we have you back so much because
I went during the break. I don't know.
What?
No, he's making a joke.
He's making a joke.
I went during the break.
I missed it. Well, I was going to say, Ed, you were a poll watcher, and frankly, since your ethnic group is Polish, you have had a lot of experience doing that.
I'm the original poll watcher.
The original poll watcher.
I fish, too, so I'm the original fishing pole.
But I would,
I just had to do that. In a minute, though, anything quick that you'd like to share with us that you haven't said up to this point?
I really can't, right off the top of my head, think of anything that we haven't covered. But as you said, David, I did think of the fact, too, that if a voter wants more information, I would encourage you to go out to the Division of Elections for the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good information on the state's website regarding elections and also contact information for the different supervisors of elections throughout the state. So those 14 counties that you reach, the supervisors are going to be listed on that website as well.
Encourage you to dig deep.
Yes.
Well, our time is up. Vicki, thank you again for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
What a blessing
to us. Promise to have you back.
Absolutely.
Maybe even bring Carrie.
And we have to keep them in prayer because that's a
Amen.
Keep our Lyon County Supervisor relations in prayer and all those that work with them.
Yes.
And as, or whatever county you live in, do that because they desperately need your prayers.
Yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
God bless you all. We'll talk to you next week.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.